Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Ascension Day to you all, a blessed Ascension Day, or observed Ascension Day, but still, it is something that we should pay attention to, the ascension of Christ to the right hand of the Father. We say it all the time. In fact, I wasn't as conscious, that's my fault maybe, as how much we actually say it within the service itself. We have it in the creeds. We have it in the Gloria in Excelsis. He that sitteth on the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us, right? We say it all the time. But do we ever think about what it really means that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father? It is quite a wonderful mystery, actually. But it's one that is very important because sometimes we just brush over it. We just say, oh yeah, he's at the right hand of the Father and that's all there is to it. And maybe that's for the better sometimes, because to really think about what that means can just be mind-boggling. And I'm going to show you exactly why it is mind-boggling if you really, really think about it. But the point of today is that the ascension of Christ, among all the things that it does, among all the things that it means for us, it bases our faith on the continual gracious presence of Christ with his people, right? Now that Christ has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, he is with us. And that's the first thing I wanted to mention, is that this gets so confusing to people because there are Christians who wrongly view the ascension in that, well, Jesus is flesh and blood, true. Yes, he is true God and true man in one person of Christ. And he ascended bodily, not just spiritually. You know, it's not that his spirit went up and his body went somewhere else, but him completely went up into heaven, actually far above all heavens. That's what the scriptures say. He ascended far above all the heavens. And so they think because he's flesh and blood, he sits on a throne somewhere, maybe up in the sky, maybe somewhere we can't see. We don't really know. But because he's up there, he's there, and then kind of spiritually with us here, but this is where the rub comes. We as sacramental Christians will say, well, we know that when we partake of the body and blood of Christ, he's not just there spiritually, but mysteriously that is, the bread and the wine are the body and blood of Jesus. But other Christians will say, no, he's up there somewhere. He can't be down here at the same time. And we go, well, I don't know what to tell you. He is God. He is our Lord. He is God himself. So we need to be careful about what we mean by this. And we also have to remember that in speaking about this wonderful teaching, we do have to be careful not to try and understand every single bit as if we could understand all of it, right? Because, I read this from Walther, that when he was preaching on this, he said, we have to remember that the ascension, or the teaching about the ascension of Christ the ascension is like the sun, in that the more clearly we wish to gaze into it, the more it blinds our eyes, so that in the end we finally see, see nothing at all. Right? That to try and understand every single aspect, it will just blow our minds. We won't quite get it. We'll be like those who say, well, he ascended and he's up there. And so if he's up there, he can't be here, and so on and so forth, because we're trying to make sense completely, but we're fallen human beings. We're fallen men, and our sinful flesh just makes it so that we can't quite grasp everything, and so we have to be comfortable with that being the case. That's okay. We don't have to understand all the aspects of it, because the more we hold and the more we simply hold to what the scriptures say of Christ ascending to his throne, the more simply we hold to what the scriptures say about that, the more faith strengthening this great mystery becomes for us, right? We have to be like children and say, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Sounds good to me, right? How that works, how that happens, I don't really know. I'm going to leave that up to him as to how that happens. But we have to look at what the scriptures say. So what do the scriptures say about Jesus' ascension? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, and in chapter 1, actually, St. Paul says a lot about it. In chapter 4, verse 10, he says, now he who descended, that is Christ, is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, right? He ascended on high, that he would fill all things. And when we read in the New Testament lesson from Acts, when it says that he ascended into the cloud, in the same way, that word for cloud is the same word that we see in the Old Testament with the cloud of glory that the Lord led his people by in the wilderness. That he didn't just go off into a cloud somewhere and he's hiding behind a cloud up in the sky, but in the cloud, now he fills all things. In that glory cloud, he is all places. He knows all. He sees all. And like I said, that boggles the mind, because if he's flesh and blood, how does that work? He is flesh and blood, his human nature, right? Ascended with his divine nature, ascended to the right hand of his Father. And it's not that he just went to heaven, but St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that he ascended far above all heavens, right? And if heaven is a place without the bounds of time and space, how can we fully comprehend it? But again, it says it, and we say, thanks be to God. That is a wonderful thing, because now that he's up there, or now that he's in the heavenly realms, he can be here too. He fills all things. He fills all things at the right hand of God. And what does that mean to be at the right hand of God? Well, we see from the Psalms, which Christ does say in Luke 24 for our gospel text today, he says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That the Psalms speak of the right hand of God. Psalm 77, Psalm 139, Psalm 110, kind of what we said today. It's all throughout, and especially in the Exodus as well, that the Lord led his people out of captivity with his strong hand, right? With his hand of power. So if Christ is at the right hand of the Father, he is in the place of power. He sits there, and it is the place of omnipotence, omnipresence, the rule, and the eternal divine majesty and glory. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the ruler of all things now, because he has gone into the heavenly realms, far above, actually. So with that, knowing that very simply, this is the case, he fills all things, and therefore he has promised to be with us always. We read in Matthew 28, when he departs from his disciples there in that gospel. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. How could he be with us always if he stayed here on earth? That is the big question. And it's even more of a question, how is he with us now that he has ascended? We do not see him with our eyes, but with our eyes of faith, we can hold on to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is now here and in all places, especially where his word is proclaimed and his gifts are freely granted to his people. That is, that wherever his word is proclaimed, he especially promises to be. Wherever there is baptism, he is there. Wherever there is Holy Communion, he is there. Wherever sins are being absolved, he is there, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I am there with them. He is there, just as true as you are here now, right? And this is a wonderful thing. It is so comfortable. It is so comforting that it just far surpasses anything we could possibly have thought that God could do for us. And so if he is with us always and he is at the right hand of his Father, he also intercedes for us in our troubles. Romans 8 says that he does so. Romans 8:34, if you're taking notes. And in Matthew chapter 16, he says that when Peter confesses him as Christ, he says, on this, that Peter, your name is Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This means that Christ intercedes for us when we are in trouble, when we are in need, so that the gates of hell shall not prevail. We live in a dark and dreary world that's full of sin and death and hardship, and we need this comfort because even though Christ has died for us, he has risen from the dead, and he has now ascended on high, we still face the hardship of sin, death, and the devil. And our sinful flesh clings to the things of this world. So we need that help. We need Christ to intercede for us as our great high priest and as our king. And the scriptures also say that as Christ ascended to heaven, he now governs and protects his church. As head of the church, he rules the world in the interest of all the church. Ephesians chapter 1, St. Paul writes what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. In all, that Christ himself is now King of all things, King of kings, Lord of lords. And it's not that he's just the Lord of the church. He is the ruler of this world. He is the King of creation, right? He rules all things for our good. And so we ask ourselves sometimes, our sinful flesh really asks ourselves, if the Lord ascended to the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and he works all things for our good, then what do I have to do, right? Sometimes our sinful flesh will say, well, now I can just kind of sit back. It takes the comfort too far and says, well, Jesus is doing everything anyway. What do I have to do? Why do I have to be concerned about these things? And to some level, you don't have to be concerned, but if you use the ascension of Christ to sit back and kick back and relax because, hey, you know what? Jesus is just taking care of all of it. I don't have to worry about any of it. By that, I mean I don't have to do anything either, right? But if you want to know exactly what we are to do, we are to take this teaching in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit and read Ephesians chapter 4, where St. Paul writes, as I just said before, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And because of this, we can read, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceit of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love, that we all have a part to play. We all have been given different gifts and strengths by which we should serve and by which we should build up Christ's church. Because he now reigns on high for you, so that you may go out and live your life in the way that he has called you to live it, knowing that no matter what comes your way, no matter the hardships that come, you carrying out the love of God that has been shown to you in showing love to other people, now, whatever hardships come, you can truly say, thanks be to God, this is actually building me up so that the church would be built up. Because we also know from Romans 8 that all things, good and bad, all things work for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. And his purpose is that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things and love our neighbors as ourselves, knowing that we don't do that by ourselves, but by the grace that has been supplied to us by Christ. And if we know that God is for us, who can be against us, right? It is the confidence that we have, the faithful confidence that we have in Christ, that he now reigns on high for us. And if you're not quite of that mindset, the confident mindset, because you may ask yourself in the sinful flesh, getting down and despairing and saying, well, if God is truly reigning on high, why are things so bad? Right? Why does it look like the world is just going down the tubes? How can that be good? Well, that's probably the best question of all. How is it that these things can be good? Because God is doing them. Christ is doing them for our good. And so it's up to us, on some level, by the guidance of his grace, to say and to ponder and be granted by the Holy Spirit to be seen, where is the good in these things? Where is the good in the hardship that comes from this world? Because it is good. And knowing that it is good gives you the answer that you need, right? That you may not know exactly what kind of good, all the good that can come from it, but to say, Lord, you've said this is good. I trust that it is. Help me to know this and to go forward and, trusting your word, know that you are with me all the time, that you are there when your word is spoken, when your gifts are given, when I am alone, know that, help me to know that I am not truly alone because Christ is there. So our Lord is near at all times, and especially in the places where he has promised to be, that is in his church, right? So that we would be built up. The ascension of Christ is a comforting thing, and we should hold it as such. So as we go forward, know this, that the Lord is near you, that he works all things for your good, and he helps you through all things. Trust in him, hold fast to him, and he has promised that he will see you through. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.